And it's lovely to be with you on this 12th Sunday after Trinity. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and be glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Faithful God, we gather from our scattered lives to be renewed by your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and minds to listen for your voice as you reach out to us today. Amen. And our first reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at the 15th verse. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, his decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our responsory this morning is taken from verses from Colossians. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, and Christ shall give you light. When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to complete it, Everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Robert and I met some friends last week. They live in a beautiful house which they had built themselves, overlooking some amazing countryside. There were other houses being built in the row alongside theirs. The plot next door was in the middle of being constructed, and I happened to comment on it. Our friends sighed. "Poor chap," they said. "He is unable to complete his house because of the power cables." I looked out of the window. Over the next door neighbour's plot were some huge power lines. Apparently, he hadn't realised when he bought the plot that the power cables would have to be buried below ground because the roof of the house would interfere with them. His building project had come to a standstill. He had the makings of a beautiful new home, but was unable to complete it. Maybe he will have to make do with a bungalow. His story reminded me of today's gospel reading, in which Jesus tells two parables to reinforce his stark and harsh teaching about the cost of being a disciple. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Think back to last week. Jesus had been teaching that everyone is invited to God's banquet. However, he now indicates the stringent demands that accompany this invitation. I think it is worth noting that at this point, Jesus is not sitting at a meal table, but he's walking along the road, and he's being followed by a large crowd. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows he's going to suffer and die. The crowd are walking behind him, looking just like fellow pilgrims, looking every bit disciples. And Jesus turns round and confronts them. Of course, what Jesus is saying is extreme, but he's trying to make a point. He wants to create a reaction. But what he said to his followers on the road, he says to us too. If you want to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, it will involve costly choices. You can't just potter and pootle along as usual. There are decisions to be made, and they are important. They are the same decisions as God told Moses. They are the same challenges he gave to the children of Israel as he was forming them into his people, his nation. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. I don't know about you, but I find this teaching extremely challenging. And sometimes, actually quite a few times, I wish Jesus would sugarcoat his message to just make it a little more palatable. Nevertheless, this morning, once again, I am forced to contemplate what Jesus says. If I want to be a fully paid-up disciple of Jesus Christ, then I have to accept that my life is not my own. I have been bought at a price. Jesus has a claim on my life, and every other claim on my life becomes relative to his claim. As Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You and I have been bought, and we belong to God. I can imagine that when Jesus stopped walking and turned around to face the crowd, they stopped walking too. And I can imagine that what he said stopped them in their tracks. And for some, they probably stopped there forever, because what Jesus said was and is extremely hard. And that's the point. Jesus knows it's hard, so he advises us all to listen and to take on board what he is saying before we decide to commit to being a disciple. A careful builder never embarks on a project without seeing how much it will cost. A wise general never declares war if his soldiers are not ready for battle. A would-be disciple needs to know that discipleship is costly. It's not just for an hour on Sunday. It's full on. It makes demands of our bodies, our minds, and our souls. It demands that we give things up. It challenges us to change our priorities. It asks us to be prepared to die, metaphorically, to our personal whims and desires. It challenges us to hate, and the Greek literally means to love less, all those things and relationships which are too exclusive, too limited, too insular, too narrow, and to choose what is inclusive, broad, boundless, and risky. The punchline to this passage is clearly stated in verse 33. So you cannot be my disciple without giving up everything you own. Am I prepared to give up everything to follow Jesus? For some of us, that may be literal. For some of us, it may be putting what we have at Jesus' disposal, just as when Jesus called Levi, who was also known as Matthew. Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And immediately after, we hear that Levi held a banquet in his home for Jesus. The guests were fellow tax collectors. The Pharisees thoroughly disapproved. But Levi had put his home at Jesus' disposal once he had made the decision to follow. For all of us, it means surrender, realizing that we are no longer in charge. We are no longer calling the shots. So as I have been pondering this passage this week, I have been forced to look at a few things. Firstly, what are those things that I find so hard to let go? What things do I consider to be exclusively mine? The things that I want to nail a notice to saying, keep off. Is it my time? Is it my money? Is it my freedom of expression or my relationships? What are the things that I cling to rather than cling to God? And how can I find it within myself to loosen my grip and to let God take hold? In other words, how much do I trust him with the things I desire, the things I hoard, the things I possess, and the things I value? And secondly, how narrow and insular am I really? Am I prepared to love less those areas of my life that play safe because they are insular, familiar, and exclusive? Am I willing to admit that some of the traditions, opinions, and beliefs that I have inherited need to be challenged because I am a disciple of Jesus. Instead, am I willing to allow the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to see a new vision and different possibilities, and to embrace those things that reflect God's boundless, outrageous, and unconditional love and grace? And thirdly, how do you and I communicate this to those around us? How do we communicate this challenge as being a good thing? How tempting it is for us to make out that being a Christian is easy. Oh, it's a doddle. When you are a Christian, you can do what you like. You can have your cake and eat it too. You never have to make hard and difficult choices. And of course, you will never, ever, ever have to take up your cross and follow. In other words, what is the personal cost of asking to be changed and transformed to be more like Jesus Christ? What is the cost for us becoming a royal priesthood, a holy people belonging to God? Is our faith in Jesus Christ worth living and dying for? I came upon this prayer. God of love, source of mercy and compassion, weave your dream for the world into the fabric of our lives. Remove the scales from our eyes and lift the indifference from our hearts so that we may see your vision, a new reign of justice and compassion that will renew the earth, transform our lives so that we may accomplish your purpose. Anoint us with your spirit of love, that we might bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim release to the captive. Give us a new urgency and a new commitment to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and visit those who live in isolation. Help us to reach out to those whom no one else will touch, to accept the unacceptable, and to embrace the enemy. Surround us with your love, fill us with your grace, and strengthen us for your service. Empower us to respond to the call of Jesus, to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow. Make us your disciples. Amen. And we continue in a time of prayer now. Loving Lord, your compassion knows no bounds, and you care for every part of the globe. We pray for those suffering as a result of floods, especially the people of Pakistan, those whose homes are underwater, those who have lost loved ones, villages isolated as a result of the destruction of bridges and roads, those who have been evacuated and who now live in overcrowded makeshift camps, those who have lost fields and crops. Give wisdom to the government as it seeks to implement a recovery program, and give generosity to other nations that they may support its endeavors. You call us to bear our crosses. Give those who need it strength to bear their crosses, and wisdom to know the way forward. Loving Lord, you are the Prince of Peace, and we pray for an end to all violence and warfare throughout the world. We hold before you those who are suffering as a result of war and civil war, those who have lost loved ones, those who have been injured, those who have lost homes and livelihoods, those who are fearful. We especially ask for your comfort and strength for the people of Ukraine and Iraq. You call us to bear our crosses. Give those who need it strength to bear their crosses and wisdom to know the way forward. Loving Lord, you share our joy and our pain. We pray for those who've recently received examination results, those who are rejoicing at a clear way forward, those who are processing thoughts for their future. We pray for the families and those who offer counsel and advice. We hold before you children starting school, those going into new classes and new schools, those beginning college and university, those looking for work, and those beginning new jobs. You call us to bear our crosses. Give those who need it strength to bear their crosses and wisdom to know the way forward. Loving Lord, you teach us to love one another. We pray for those who have been victims of violent crime, for families of murder victims, for those who seek to support them, for the police and the justice system. We pray for those traumatized by what they have witnessed, those who struggle to find hope for the future. You call us to bear our crosses. Give those who need it strength to bear their crosses and wisdom to know the way forward. Loving Lord, grant to all who are struggling the knowledge of your encouraging presence, the aid of your strength, and the power of peace. And we pray for those who are unwell this morning, for Jacques, Jen, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, Helen, John, Bob, and others known to us. And we also pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died, for the family and friends of Jennifer Rowlandson and Graham Webber. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the collect for the day. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask. But through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, who passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you and those you love and pray for this day and always. Amen. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. I hope you have a great day. So the service will be here online on the phone next week, just different voices. Thank you for offering to do that, John. And we are going to have a Zoom coffee morning on Wednesday. I hope you've got the details of that. And I'd really like to just have a chat with the way forward with that, and also when we meet up face to face. So it will be at Wednesday morning at 10:30. And if you haven't got the details to hand, then if you email me or leave a message on the answer phone, I'll get them to you. I hope you have a great day.
And
thank you. Thank you for your company, fellow disciples.
Thank you.
And we'll see you soon. I won't see you next week, but I will see you the week after. Anyway, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.